friends. I'm your host, Erin Port, and welcome to the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast. Life can be overwhelming and busy, so once a week, I invite you to join me, and together we will make simple tweaks to uncomplicate the hard parts of our life so we can spend more time doing what we love. You don't have to overhaul your life to love it, so let's get started. Welcome back, friends. It is our last in our series of Simplify, Streamline, and Succeed in 2024. We've talked about creating a game plan, setting realistic goals, decluttering, routines, and more. And we're going to finish this series talking about money. Now, I am not a money expert, so I'm not going to give you like the details of how to create a budget. There's lots of great people you can do that with online, but I'm going to share with you kind of our reflections over our no spend month challenge. Here's the thing. If we want to simplify, streamline, and succeed in 2024, we need to get intentional about our finances. Our finances are one of the number one things we fight about in marriages. It is a common stressor and tension in our lives. And so this challenge has helped us reset our intentions and our habits related to finances. So I thought it'd be worth sharing the things that we've learned about it. It's the end of the month and the first month of 2024. Why does January always feel so long? Maybe it's just this crazy winter weather we've been having that's wreaked havoc on us the entire month. Despite the dismal weather, we have found it's a good idea to institute a no-spend challenge every January. I'm actually not quite sure how many Januaries we've been doing this, but it's been so beneficial year after year that we keep coming back to this. It's similar in its premise to Dry January, which we also happen to participate in. It really just allows us to reset our habits, going from doing it more often to kind of realigning and just cutting it all out for a little bit. We often joke that I am the spender in the relationship over here. I buy most of the groceries, most of the household items, clothing, etc. My guess is if you're listening, you're probably doing a lot of that spending too. So a few years ago, I decided to kickstart the new year with a bold move, a month of no spending. I thought I'd share, like I said, the insights we've gained from doing this a couple of times with our whole family. Yes, we invite our kids into the process. So why a no spend January? You could totally do a no spend month challenge. And if you didn't do one in January, I suggest trying it in February. And the good news is it's 2 days shorter this year than it usually is. It is a leap year, so you do have to do February 29th, but that's neither here nor there. The goal of the no spend month is for us, like I said, to just reset our spending habits. But the reason I chose January is it's especially helpful after the holiday season where I can, quite frankly, get trigger happy and click add to cart. It's just too easy sometimes, isn't it? The constant stream of impulse buys at the holidays, eating out more than usual, and extra expenses all take a toll on our bank account. I know money doesn't grow from trees. My dad taught me that. But I tell you what, some days I wish we did have a money tree. I know they really do exist, but they don't grow money. With four kids, some days it feels like I just open up my wallet and money flies out the window. So I wanted to reset a way to realign our financial goals and kickstart new habits, not just in myself, but in my kids' habits too, right? We go to the store, oh, mom, can I have that? Can we get that, right? And it's so easy just to say yes and throw it in the cart. That cart creep adds up and we end up spending way more than we intended at the grocery store. So it's just good for everybody. Okay, so let's set up the ground rules. And this isn't a one-size-fits-all. This is just us sharing our experience for you to get some ideas. So if you have some different thoughts, by all means, this isn't like the one-way ticket to success. All right, so the first thing I did was establish and communicate ground rules with my family. It's really important to explain why so that they understand it's not just to like be mean or, you know, a curmudgeon. It really is to help us to practice these better habits. No more unnecessary spending on non-essential items. I set a clear time frame committing to a whole month And the first time you do this, it feels the hardest. We've done this year after year. And so now that we've done it a couple of times, it really isn't as hard knowing that we've been successful in the past. Just a little encouragement as you get started. So of course, groceries and necessary expenses are allowed. And we'll talk a little bit about what is necessary. But everything else was fair game for cutting back. Like I said, we had a few things like HOA bill that we needed to pay for the year and a chiropractor's yearly stipend. The goal really was the opportunity to break free from those impulse purchases, learn to appreciate the value of money, and be content with what we have. Oh my goodness, for goodness sakes, we just got an influx of Christmas presents. We should be satisfied, in theory, right? But sometimes it feels like when you buy one item, then you need something else. Like if I got new tennis shoes for Christmas, well, then I need new running tights to go with them, right? That's kind of how it goes. And so that's why it just needs to be like, nope, stop. We're going to just take a break and put those items in a cart and we can come back to them later. Again, this is a good lesson for our kids. They learn by our example. So don't be afraid to invite them into the process. Not only are we raising kids, but repeat after me, we're raising future adults. And one of the best gifts that we can give them is these life skills of how to manage their money and have a healthy relationship with money. Because money is just a tool. It's how we use that money in our life that is really important. Okay, so necessary expenses, grocery, yes, we could do that. So how did I navigate the grocery store? Okay, so of course, meal planning is my best friend. You knew I was going to say that. So every Friday, I created a shopping list. And when I went to the store, I stuck to the list. I did this by shopping at places like Aldi. If I could avoid a big box store like Walmart or Target or Costco, I would. So I just went to Costco once and I stuck to my list. And here's what I did when I went to the grocery store. I avoided areas that I knew would cause me to impulse buy. The Aldi finds, right? That favorite find section. I didn't even walk down it, right? The Costco areas. I didn't even walk by like any of the like fun areas because I didn't even want to see what I was missing out on. Same with if I had to go to Walmart or Target, just avoid the clothing section, avoid the shoe section. If I didn't see it, therefore I wouldn't need it and it was easier to stay away from. All right, because you know that cute sweater just pops into your cart. I know you can relate. And then I would also write at the end of every week, I'd write down what my grocery spending was at the top of my meal planning page. And then I'd have a running total. So like say I spent $250 at Costco and $150 at Aldi this week. So I spent $400. So then next week I would spend, you know, if I spent $150, then I would know I had $550. Our grocery budget as it stands right now is $1,000. That might seem high to some of you. That might mean low to some of you, but that kind of works for our family. It's tight some months, especially when we consider we buy our household products in there, you know, toilet paper, all that kind of stuff. Shampoo, conditioner, razors, all of those things. The only thing that doesn't kind of fit into that category is my hair supplies that I purchase from my hairstylist, which isn't very often, but that's in a different category. Okay, you didn't ask for that. That was just extra tip. But the grocery bill, then I could keep a good indicator watching my grocery bill throughout the month. And here's why meal planning saved me. Meal planning in advance not only helped curb unnecessary grocery purchases, but it also reduced food waste. As the month drew to a close and our grocery budget inched towards that $1,000 mark, I got creative. I looked in for meal options in my fridge, freezer, and pantry. How often do we stock up on items but then never use them? I'm talking to you. You have that pantry, right? We should. If you haven't tried meal planning, I highly recommend incorporating it into your routine. And it is in podcast episode 3, I believe, where I go into detail about meal planning. And you can also go to simplepurposefulliving.com/meal plan and get our 7-day meal plan guide as well. But it's a game changer and it's going to help you save money. Stay on budget, stay on task, not buying those impulse things, because that cart creep is real at the grocery store, friends. It is real. And like I said, just avoiding those aisles, even shopping online. I did that for years when we were adopting to save money. I just didn't even go into the store. I shopped online and had the groceries delivered to my house. It might even be worth the delivery fee. Okay. Here's the next thing we did in our no spend month. And this was kind of a surprise, honestly, but finding free things to do. Instead of heading out to eat or making trips to the store or going and doing something as a family, like going to the movies or going bowling because it's cold outside, so everything costs money. We started finding joy in free or nearly free activities, whether it was a walk outside, a family game night, sledding in the backyard. We discovered that happiness doesn't always come with a price tag. It was a good reminder that the best things in life are often free. Scott learned how to dehydrate bananas, and I learned how to make homemade bread. We enjoyed our hot tub, took walks outside, popped popcorn at home, and watched movies together, and a whole lot of football, of course, and basketball. Oh, did I mention I also taught Scott how to do yoga? And we're now doing a yoga date once a weekend in addition to our walking date on Sunday. It reminded me of one of my favorite quotes that I often share with my kids. Creativity is just on the other side of boredom. And sometimes we equate that with kids, but how often are we quick to go spend money to keep ourselves busy and entertained when really there is some really fun things we can do for free if we just allow ourselves to get a little bored? Okay, so that was a happy surprise that I didn't even think about until this was all over. Speaking of simplifying, streamlining, and succeeding in 2024, we want to help you practically, not just with ideas, but also resources. So we created a free printable pack with decluttering checklists, cleaning checklists, and routine checklists. Grab your free, yes, I said free, pack today at simplepurposefulliving.com/simplify. The link is also in our show notes. Okay, what did we do when we wanted to buy something? So someone recommends a new book to you. I do that on Instagram. Or you suddenly see this life-changing hack and you need the product that they share about. Put it in your shopping cart, but do not click buy. Here's the thing. If we want to save money and curb the clutter influx into our home, we have to be cognizant of what we are bringing in. I hear from so many people that say, oh my goodness, I have so much clutter in my house. One of the best ways besides decluttering is to slow the clutter influx. And that's another unintended blessing of a no-spend month is that you start to see like, what am I bringing in? How fast am I bringing things in? You can slow that influx by curbing your impulse spending. Did you know we actually get a dopamine hit, a rush, so to speak, when you buy something? Okay, so when I was a kid, I remember my first time ever saving up money for something, and it was for a black pair of Adidas Sambas. I mean, they're coming back in style, but they were really popular when I was a kid. And my mom said, you don't play soccer, so you don't need them. So if you want them, you have to save up yourself. So I did, and I bought them. And immediately after, it wasn't very long after, like, it was like the rush was gone and I wanted something else. And I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, that was a lot of work. And it really didn't like satisfy me, right? So here's the thing. Yes, shopping can give us a dopamine hit and that feels great, but it doesn't last very long. So it's important to recognize that sensation in ourselves and also know that dopamine can come from other activities like exercise, listening to music, hanging out with others, achieving goals, engaging in learning. Hello, I learned how to make bread. Being creative, spending time in nature, practicing mindfulness, acts of kindness, and savoring accomplishments. These experiences can also contribute to a sense of pleasure and reward besides shopping, promoting an overall well-being. Plus, the benefit of a no-spend month is that you can test out these other ways to enjoy life, and you might just find a new favorite way to enjoy spending your time. Here I am, still making bread, and I've even tried cinnamon swirl, and I have to say, it is really good. It doesn't last very long around here. And I never would have done that had I not had a no-spend month where I had to get creative at home. Okay, so purchases we did make. Okay, of course, we had to buy a birthday present for my son Quincy's friend for a birthday party he attended. I bought a plane ticket to go see my sister. That was just, we hadn't purchased it yet. I'm going in February. We kind of waited to make sure everything was good with the twins and they really wanted me to visit. So that just happened to be in our no spend month. But we decided, like any challenge, you have the ultimate discretion to make exceptions to the rule. And both of these felt like good exceptions. Our kids did have gift cards, and in many cases for no spend months, people use gift cards as an opportunity to spend without spending, quote unquote. But we even made them wait and think about those items that they wanted to use with their Christmas gift card money just to get them to feel that feeling of like waiting and making a good decision. We all know the feeling of money burning a hole in our pocket, and we just wanted them to practice that mindfulness that comes with a good purchase. Again, it's just a really good life skill for them later in life. Okay, what did we do with eating out? We did include eating out in our no spending challenge, so no eating out. We have eliminated eating out in the past to save money for our adoption. So again, we knew we could do it. Eating out, even fast food, is getting so expensive for our family. So we do try to eat at home most nights. But as a mom, I love eating out occasionally because I don't have to do the cleanup, right? So we did have two exceptions to that rule, full disclosure. Number one was we took my niece out for lunch when she came through town to go back to Iowa State. We took her to Chick-fil-A. And again, for the six of us, it was about $70. Well worth it because we were able to bless my niece and take care of, you know, just serve her in that way. And it was really fun to spend time with her. But just a reminder that that was like an event that we could do as opposed to just like a Tuesday night last minute alternative plan, whereas we could just have, you know, frozen pizza at home or macaroni and cheese for $2 and save a whole lot of money. And the other exception was my friends texted out an SOS after like 4 days of being snowed in and said, does anybody want to meet for breakfast on the square? And we all said yes. And so that was a $10 breakfast well spent. I, again, didn't want our no spend challenge to hinder our relationships with others. But again, you have to analyze that. Me working from home, anytime I get to spend with others is always a good thing. And then Scott and I also went out on a lunch date with a gift card we were given. So our total bill, including tip, was $12. We actually rarely go out on food dates, so it was a fun treat. Instead of traditional dinner dates, we have loved setting aside weekly time on Fridays to eat lunch together while the kids are at school. We'll go on a walk, run errands, or play a game. Our current favorite is Quirkle. And this has worked well at this stage of life and helped us to save some money. I don't know who needs to hear this, but a date with your spouse does not mean eating out. Like, if that's what you enjoy and you want to prioritize spending your money that way, absolutely. But knowing this has liberated us because we thought we really weren't dating for all these years when really we were just dating in a different sense than a dinner date. Okay, so a few last things I want you to consider before I wrap this up. Number one, I unsubscribe from most online shopping emails. This eliminates the fear of missing out on a good deal when I really don't need an item. I can always resubscribe later to get the discount if I need it, but for now, just out of sight, out of mind. The other thing is, if you follow an influencer online that you are highly influenced by and you cannot not buy the thing they're telling you about, maybe mute them while you wrangle your spending habits. I know it feels like, ooh, but here's the thing. If somebody were following me and I was causing them to spend money they didn't have, I would tell them without a shadow of a doubt, just mute me or unfollow me. Like, I don't want to be the cause of your, of you going into debt. Like, that's not the purpose, right? So another thing to consider is negotiate your bills and explore alternate options for medical expenses. It can save you a significant amount of money just by renegotiating with your cellular company or your insurance company. We need to do that this year ourselves. And then another thing to evaluate is your subscription services. We all cut the cable bill to save money, and now we all have stacks of subscription services that we subscribe to. So just evaluate that. Like, do we really need those things? And if not, can you cut it? Or can you cut back? We've done that with our next Netflix account. We like cut back so we don't have like the family plan anymore. I think we just have the basic plan, which saves us money too. Okay. And then avoiding short-term purchases for long-term goals. This really helped. And this mindset I really got into when we were adopting. Like, I could say no to the item at Target because I was like, we are adopting. And you know, in the past, we'd saved for retirement, but retirement felt so far away. And so what that taught me is having a really good financial goal that you're excited about, like I was excited to adopt, I wanted to adopt, I wanted to save money. Like when you have a goal that you're excited about, it's easier to say no to those short-term impulse purchases because you want that long-term goal. And so I'm kind of harnessing that same energy. And like when I go to the store and I see something that I want and I'll say to myself, nope, because right now what we're really focusing our money on is vacations with our kids. They're not getting any younger. And we really have some vacations we want to take our kids on before they all leave the house. And so just saying to myself, like, do I really need this? Like, is this a need or can I save my money for this other financial goal? Having clear, shorter term savings goals can help you be successful with curbing those spending goals. Okay, just remember, as moms, we are juggling countless responsibilities and finances are no exception. It is at the top of the list of things most fought about in marriage. So as we end the no spend challenge, nearly everything I put in my cart, I deleted. Like, just so you know, like I put some things in my cart this month. I am not immune to being influenced online, but I deleted everything minus my compression socks that I need for going overseas because my ankles swell and it is not a pretty sight. So I did buy those. But otherwise, everything else got deleted or I added to my to-read list that I'm going to go buy the, I'm not going to buy the books, but I'm going to go check them out at the library. The library is a great place to save some money on books, right? The journey also taught me the importance of intentional spending, the joy of finding free things to do, like that boredom leads to creativity, and the value of making our money work for us. It's a tool, and we work really hard for every dollar we earn. I want to continue to grow and be mindful about how I spend it and be a good example to our kids who are going to need these life skills too. This month ended up being more than just saving money. It was about gaining control over our finances, establishing and resetting some good habits, and finding simple joy in the little things in life. So your practical takeaway this week is going to be one of three things if you choose to accept the challenge. Number one, consider a no-spend challenge. You don't have to do it for a month. You could do it for a week or a couple of days. Just test the waters. Get into the habit. Number two, get in the habit of putting things in your cart that you want and waiting 24 hours before purchasing it to see if you really want the item. And then number three, unsubscribe from emails or influencers that make you want to spend money you don't have. Out of sight is out of mind. It's easier to avoid the fear of missing out if you don't even see it. And then maybe even another takeaway is if you do go to the grocery store and you have a hard time like adding cart things to your cart, avoid certain areas of the store where that might happen more frequently, like the Aldi favorite finds or the shoe section at Target. Just avoid those areas. If you don't see it, you don't know that you need it. So hopefully this was helpful. I learned a ton. I definitely want to do more of these no spend months going into February. I definitely feel like I have a way better handle on my impulse purchases and have set some really good habits going into 2024. And I hope that this inspires you as you simplify, streamline, and succeed in 2024. This concludes this series, but you can go back and listen to all of the episodes in the series. And let's get started with 2024 on the right foot. Until next time, friends, have a great day. And remember, you don't have to overhaul your life to love it. You can just make a simple tweak today that could change your life forever. Thanks for tuning in to the Simple Purposeful Living podcast. If you like this episode, it would mean so much if you'd share it with a friend or leave a quick rating and review so others can find our show. Until next time, you can find me at Simple Purposeful Living on Instagram and Facebook for some more encouragement and practical tips. You get one life, so let's enjoy it on purpose. Until next time, bye.